And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Well, today we're going to be talking about a topic that, well, in one way it sickens us, it just disgusts us. In another way, it's such a revealing subject from a physical, but more than that, a spiritual level that it's something we must examine. We simply must. If we are to discover the forces that are against goodness today, against righteousness, if we are to really look at the forces that propel men to do the utmost evil in the world today, we must look at the topic of religion, the leaders of religion, and we must expose the debauchery, the consummate evil of the flesh of these men and sometimes women. You know, several years ago we did a report on this, on Power of Prophecy, in which I fully expose a Catholic priest, homosexuals, who were simply devouring the Catholic Church. From top to bottom, I expose this. And as you know, in the intervening months, we have had much news about these Catholic pedophile priests. And that's exactly what we reported here about the pedophiles, the priest. Many authorities within the Catholic Church itself say at least 50%, that's one half, one out of two Catholic priests today throughout the world are homosexuals. A vast majority, they say, of Catholic nuns and sisters are lesbians. There have been many books on this subject, but today I want to give you more evidence about what I call the ravages of Satan in the Catholic Church. Now, please understand, I have exposed these same kinds of ravages in the non-Catholic Church. I don't call it Protestant anymore because they're not protesting anything. They've joined hands with the Vatican in most Lutheran, Episcopal, Methodist, and even Baptist churches, Assembly of God, Pentecostal, and so forth. But certainly we have the homosexuality. We have the sexual perversion, very prevalent in, you know, former Protestant churches. And as a matter of fact, in coming weeks, I'm going to do another program about those who I call the sexual disciples of Bacchus. Bacchus was the ancient Greek god, and in medieval times in Europe, they had their Bacchanalia days and festivals in which they carried on incredible sexual outrages throughout all the countries of Europe. Quite interesting, since the Bacchanalia were really the worship of ancient pagan gods, and yet those countries in Europe were predominantly Catholic and very tightly controlled by the Roman Catholic Church and the priesthood. And yet they continued until recent years to worship the sexual party god, let's just call him Bacchus. I want to specifically talk to you today about priests, though, Catholic priests, because remember, the Catholic Church has historically claimed that it is the only true church. In its new Catholic Catechism, published during the regime of Pope John Paul II, we're told that outside the Catholic Church, there is no salvation. We're told that the Catholic, when he speaks ex cathedra, in other words, about religious or spiritual matters, cannot make a mistake. He's infallible. Now, I don't believe that for a minute, but if 800 million people believe it, it's something of great importance. And that many people do believe it. Spread out on all the seven continents, we have a huge congregation of Catholic believers. And wherever he goes, the Pope of Rome is worshipped almost as a pagan deity. So we must look at the men who represent this church. What is their character? What is their sense of morality? What are they doing that would affect our youth? What kind of acts are they guilty of, good or bad, which would impact the whole world? And if they are the true Christian church, which, as I said, they are not, but if they were, and they are considered, I mean, as the only Christian church by many millions, when the Pope speaks, people believe he's speaking for all of Christianity. And why shouldn't they? Because Billy Graham said he was the world's greatest religious and Christian leader. Jerry Falwell, when the Pope came to America, was on the dais, on the platform, holding hands with him. George Bush and Laura Bush went to the Vatican. They even went to the funeral, along with Father Senior George Bush, of Pope John Paul II, giving credence to the belief that the Catholic Church is the only true Christian church, certainly the most powerful, the most influential. Hollywood depicts it that way. You very often see Protestant ministers on programs produced out of Hollywood in films, but you often see priest, a man with a collar. That's what people think is the very epitome, the role model, the example of what a Christian pastor is. And many today are leaving former Protestant churches and joining the Catholic Church. Now, we then desperately need to look at the leaders of the Catholic Church, the priesthood. Now, as I've said, Catholic sources themselves say that over half of the priests, some authoritative sources say up to 80% of all Catholic priests are homosexuals. But they say that doesn't matter. What's wrong with being a homosexual? Forget the Bible, because they believe more in church tradition than the Word of God in the Catholic Church. That's official, as stated in their own catechism. Are they doing great damage to the image of Christianity? Are they preparing the whole world, these Catholic priests, to accept the most heinous perversions as something good and legitimate? And another question. Are Catholic priests today, even a majority of them, involved in literally horrible satanic sexual rituals? What does it mean for you if you're a Catholic? And, of course, for me, a man who's not one. We see changes taking place. I read from Religion News Services, also in the Jackson City, a Citizen Patriot newspaper recently, this article. It says Notre Dame, now that's the University of Notre Dame. It's sort of the quintessential Catholic university based up in Indiana, but the alumni are around the world. Listen to this. It says Notre Dame in this news report, Notre Dame allows gay films and the monologues. I read to you, it says a gay film festival and the play, The Vagina Monologues, will continue to have a place at the University of Notre Dame. The school's president, who is always, of course, a Catholic priest, has announced, ending several months of debate over whether the events were appropriate for a Catholic campus. In January, the article says, Notre Dame President John Jenkins had suggested that sponsoring the play and the festival might conflict with the mission of the Catholic University. But now Jenkins says that after he has weighed the thoughts of faculty, administrators, students, and alumni, and the diocese, that's the leadership of the Catholic Church in that area, he now finds no reason to disallow the events. In having gay movies, homosexual movies, and these vagina monologues presented mostly by lesbians who talk about the female sexual organ, and that's the whole, they just stand up there or sit there and just talk about the female sex organ. Jenkins, the president of the university, says these do not neglect the gospel that inspired this university. Well, think about it. Maybe they don't. The gospel that inspired Notre Dame University may well not be the gospel that inspired you and me to become Christians. There is, the Bible says, another gospel that pretends, masquerades, to be the gospel of Jesus Christ. And by the way, the article goes on to talk about the Queer Film Festival. That's what they named it, not me. The Queer Film Festival at Notre Dame that was held recently. And there's the Gay and Lesbian Film event as well. You might remember Martin Scorsese, who attended a Catholic seminary, movie director in Hollywood, was the one who gave us the horrible, blasphemous film, The Last Temptation of Christ, which portrayed Jesus Christ as kissing John, the Apostle John, on the lips, and, of course, also being married to Mary and Martha. Martin Scorsese. In the book, The Franklin Cover-Up, by former Nebraska State Senator John W. DeCamp, is other interesting news and information about these perversions within the Catholic Church. The Franklin Cover-Up is really the sad and tragic story of young people who are prostituted by some very rich, mostly Republican Party politicians and officials in the city of Omaha, Nebraska. Larry King, not the Larry King of Cable News Network, but another Larry King, a black man who ran one of the largest savings and loan associations in Omaha, Nebraska, and his cohorts evidently ran a pedophile sex ring. And they would literally ferry young boys on jet aircraft to Washington, D.C. And they once even had a sex party inside the White House during the administration of President Ronald Reagan. Now, there was no accusations that President Reagan knew of this, approved of it, or was part of it. But some witnesses said they saw the senior George Bush at the party, as well as Colonel Oliver North and other Republicans. It even made the front page of the Washington newspaper when these things came out. The Savings and Loan Association, run by Mr. King, has failed now. It's long gone by the wayside. But much of the evidence seemed to also center on the fact that this Larry King, this monster, was obtaining the boys for his sex pedophile parties with these influential Republican Party bigwigs and big shots in Washington, D.C., and even there in Omaha. He was obtaining the boys from Father Flanagan's boys' home. You know the famous Father Flanagan's boys' home or boys' town there in Omaha? I've received stuff in the mail asking for donations. You'll remember the movie, the famous, much acclaimed movie about Father Flanagan's boys town. I think, if I can remember, the famous actor Spencer Tracy played Father Flanagan. Mickey Rooney, again a famous actor, played the role of a young orphan who was a very bad delinquent until, of course, he was rehabilitated by the love of the priest, and especially of Father Flanagan. And now today they say, please send money to help the orphans at Father Flanagan's. Now, there was some newspaper scandals a few years ago, however, that said even while they're calling, begging for money, writing letters, and the Catholic faithful across the United States and Europe are sending millions of dollars each year to Father Flanagan's boys' home, it came out that they had already $200 million squirreled away in their accounts. They weren't even using $200 million. I suppose that hurt fundraising a bit. But there's something more horrible than crooked fundraising. It has to do with sexual rape of little boys. And Senator John DeCamp, who was, by the way, just so you'll know, was a captain in the Green Berets, involved in Army intelligence during the Vietnam War. But Senator DeCamp exposed this whole sorry mess in his book, The Franklin Cover-Up. Later on, we're going to tell you how to get a copy of this 400-page plus book. John DeCamp went to talk to the Monsignor, that's a high-ranking Catholic priest, who ran Boys Town, Father Flanagan's Boys Town, to find out whether these things were true. And the Monsignor says, well, they're not going on now, but they did happen here. Yes, they did. How could it happen? How is it even possible that you could take little orphan boys and send them off, pick them up here, and have pedophiles take them away for sex parties? How could this happen? The Monsignor actually told Senator DeCamp, I tried to stop it. When I came here, I was placed in charge. I saw what was going on. It wasn't me. It was not all, but many of the priests here. Homosexuals, others. I tried to stop it. I called the higher authorities over me, the Archbishop's office. I was told to keep quiet and let it all go. It's a horrible thing, he said, but I could do nothing about it. Really? Have you ever heard of an agency call the local police? Well, that would have been difficult, of course, because according to DeCamp's book, The Franklin Cover-Up, even the sheriff of that particular county, even the editors of the local largest newspaper were involved in these satanic sex rings, molesting boys. Reportedly, that is. They did so. The sheriff, of course, denied it, was never charged. But some of the boys themselves gave evidence of such. The Franklin Cover-Up is the name of that book. We'll return to that a little later, but now I'd like to go and do some other evidence. And by the way, I want to thank the people who put out a very informative newsletter called Smart. It's published by a group called Stop Mind Control and Ritual Abuse Today. And, of course, that's where the acronym comes from, SMART. Stop Mind Control and Ritual Abuse Today. I'll give you their address if you're interested. Maybe you can send them $5 or so and ask them for a sample copy of their newsletter. Their address is P.O. Box 1295, East Hampton, Massachusetts. That's all one word, East Hampton, all one word though, Massachusetts, or just M.A., P.O. Box 1295, 1295, East Hampton, Massachusetts. The zip code is 01027. And what SMART does is, in their newsletter, is document from other news sources across the United States and the world some of the most reputable news sources that are being published today. Let's talk. I'm going to go over these news items. You may say, well, Tex is reading newspaper items and it gets a little boring. But I'm leading up to the most infamous case of all. The case of Father Gerald Robinson, I believe his name is. We'll get to that in a bit. Who, in a satanic ritual, raped and murdered a nun. We'll talk about that in just a minute, as well as some other ritual, satanic, sexual conduct of priests. But back to Robinson, you'll find that his is one of the most despicable you can imagine. How he murdered this nun, raped her, murdered her, because she was owned to him and she was going to report him to the authorities. I believe she was the mother superior of the convent where he was a senior priest. And he'd been reported many times for his behavior of molesting little boys, and nothing was done about it. And finally, in a literal sacrifice to his master, Lucifer, he killed the nun who was had every intention of reporting him to the higher authorities, and had already done so in one instance. Let me read to you about a case that was reported in the Los Angeles Times. It says, details on 11 priests are missing. And the article, let me just summarize to you, says that the Catholic cardinal in charge of the entire California, the Los Angeles area, Cardinal Roger M. Mahoney, acknowledged that he left 5 priests in the ministry, despite valid complaints that they had molested children. He admitted to 5. But the Los Angeles Times says that after an investigation, the newspaper has found and documented that, by the way, through the church's own records, that he left 11 other priests in ministry for periods up to 13 years after families had fingered them as raping little boys. And other inappropriate behavior with children. And Mahoney did nothing about it. Meanwhile, Mahoney is using the church's money to fight tooth and nail against lawsuits that have been directed against the church. And nationwide, there are now $2 billion worth of lawsuits that have accumulated. The Catholic priest and the Catholic Church sued for a total of $2 billion, mostly by young men who, as altar boys, altar workers, and so forth, were raped, molested by Catholic priests. Now, what makes this especially terrible is that the Catholic Church has a very big organization. They use private detectives. They use Catholic businessmen. And they retaliate. You work for a Catholic employer or a man who's your boss who's a Catholic, he may well be approached by a bishop or a high-ranking priest and asked to assist God's church in forcing you to drop your lawsuit. This has happened many times. Let me read to you from the Wander newspaper. That's a Catholic newspaper. This article says, Archbishop Weakland of Milwaukee knew how to play, remember now, this is a Catholic publication, knew how to play legal hardball with boys allegedly sexually abused by his priest, report Tom Kircher and Marie Rode in Milwaukee's Journal Sentinel newspaper. Archdiocesan lawyers put victims and their families through lengthy depositions. Then the church and its lawyers moved to collect legal costs from the plaintiffs. And then they sought to place many of the case files under seal to protect them from public scrutiny. One man, Joe Cernignia, remembers the strain on his family after he sued the archdiocese and Father William Effinger in 1993, claiming that Effinger had sexually abused him. In the case, the church conducted numerous depositions with Cernignia, his parents, his two brothers, his former wife, and a couple of friends. Cerniglia's lawsuit was eventually dismissed. Now listen to this. After a Milwaukee County judge, a Catholic judge, ruled that the statute of limitations had expired. Apparently there was much evidence in the case indicating the wrongful sexual conduct by the priest, but the judge ruled that he could not be prosecuted nor sued because of the statute of limitations. The Catholic Church then took the legal step of moving to collect $4,000 in legal costs from Mr. Cerniglia. They sued him for bringing the lawsuit against the molest priest. According to the report, the Archbishop of Milwaukee had known for 13 years that Priest Effinger was a molester. In fact, his own testimony was, quote, now this was the Archbishop, quote, I deliberately kept it secret. I didn't think it was helpful to the Catholic Church to divulge this information. Here's the priest still out there molesting other little boys, but the Archbishop didn't think that was helpful to the church to divulge such information. So he kept it a secret. And now the very man whose life was damaged is being sued by the church after they found out the statute of limitations had expired. Well, stay with us, friends. We've got a lot more. And I'm going to tell you about the priest conducting satanic rituals. You won't believe it. What things they did are outrageous. And the murder of a nun, a sacrifice to Satan. When we return here on Power of Prophecy. Hello again, friends. You know, we're celebrating our 20th anniversary. Our 20th anniversary. And I want to tell you, friends, I believe today's program explains why God put us here and why we need your help. Can you name anybody else that would be reporting these things to you today? Exposing Father Flanagan's Boys Town? Exposing archbishops, cardinals, exposing even what goes on inside the Vatican. Some are afraid. Some are frightened. Some, well, they just don't care. They don't care about the truth. They don't care about little children whose lives are destroyed. They don't care about Jesus Christ. Well, we do care. It's not pleasant to report these things. Why do we do it? Well, someone has to. The Bible says us to have no part with the workers of darkness, but rather reprove them. Expose them, unmask them. Why do we do it? Because we don't want any more little children to be harmed. We know of the ravage of Satan by these priests. And with tears, we warn others, leave these churches, get out of them. If it's true that 50 to 80% of the priests are homosexuals and many pedophiles, leave these places, these dens of iniquity. Get out and don't put your children in harm's way. I remember some years ago I was at a prophecy conference and the speaker that spoke right for me bragged about how much he loved the Vatican. He said the greatest moment of his life was that one day he had a personal audience with the Pope. Oh, it's so inspirational, he said. And then he said, I believe the Pope is a great Christian man. I got up. The leader of the conference was afraid of what I was going to say. He begged me not to talk on that subject. I told him, well, he had two choices. One, he could disinvite me and I would just leave. Or he would give me freedom of what to say that was on my heart. And he winced and he grimaced and finally said, okay. The first thing I said was, what you've been told here about the Pope is not true. He's not a Christian. And let me explain why. One of the things I talked about was the pedophiles inside the Catholic priesthood. I proved my point with documentation, and after my talk, I thought, well, I'll really be persona non grata. I won't be welcome around here. But you know, it all was worth it. That afternoon, I was walking with Wanda just outside the church auditorium. Up comes a young teenage boy and his mother, and they had a desperate look on their face. He said, please, please tell me the truth. You see, I was truly considering becoming a Catholic priest. What should I do? He said, I don't know why, but both my mother and I are led by the Holy Ghost. We are true Christians. But we don't know what to do. I believe that God led us to you. That's why we're here today. And I didn't even know who you were until today. I believe he came from New Jersey, he and his mother. And I talked to him about these things and I counseled him and I told the young man and his mother that most of the priests who run the seminaries are homosexuals. And if this young man went there, they would insist that he would have sex with them, with some of the priests, or they wouldn't let him become a priest. Because now, increasingly, it was becoming a requirement for the priesthood. And they actually cachet out and get rid of those who are not homosexuals. There are people who have written me who told me I was kicked out of the seminary because I wouldn't have sex with the priests who were the instructors. This is happening across America. So more and more we will find fewer and fewer Catholic priests who are straight, who are normal. I told the young man this, and he began to cry. And his mother had tears in her eyes. And he said, I believe that. I believe this. That was the answer. That's why I came here, why God put in our heart to come. Friends, we're doing God's work here. And I want to thank you for your support of this ministry. 20 years of bucking the most powerful men in this world, and certainly the priesthood can be put in that area. We know we could be unjustly sued. Only God's protection keeps us from that happening. We know bad things could happen to us. But keep in mind, dear friends, Jesus said, fear not. Jesus said, only believe in him. Now, I want to offer two items to you today. And when you order these books and tapes, videos from us, you know the money's going to go right back in this ministry. Many people want to know if we're making a profit. Well, we're not a non-profit 501c3 organization because we're not going to let the government tell us what to do, but we're certainly non-profit, it appears. We just did our financial statement for the first 8 months of this year, and I believe we were $115,000 in the red. How can we keep going? Well, it's going to be by God's help. But we're not ready to close up. So don't think I'm threatening you. Don't think I'm telling you this radio program will be off the air. I know many times others do that just to get more money. Many, like Father Flanagan's boys on, don't need more money. But I'm not going to do that. We're going to be here. I have every bit of faith in the Lord. We're going to be here every week as long as he wants it. If he wants us to go off the air next week, we will. If he wants us to stay 10 more years till he comes again. And I'm not saying he's going to come exactly in 10 years. But until he comes again, we're going to be here. I have every faith in that. So I'm not worried at all. I'm not asking you to send money. I do want you to have these wonderful resources. One is the book, The Franklin Cover-Up, that we've been talking about by Senator John DeCamp. It's 412 pages, and the price of that is $20. Remember now, you don't get a tax deduction when you buy a book from us. We want you to know that you are helping our ministry, though, and that's reward enough. Now, we have also another item for you. It's a set, really, about two nuns who suffered incredible misery and sexual degradations from Catholic priests. One was a monk who lived way back in the 19th century. Her name was Maria Monk. She wrote a book, The Name, or The Nun That Lives Again. Maria Monk, The Nun That Lives Again. 175-page book. Now, we also have a two audio tape set. And on this audio tape set, you will hear a Catholic nun, her name, Sister Charlotte, tell her true story of the incredible and disgusting things that happened to her. Torture. Just incredible stories. A pastor, Theo Walker, investigated and determined these things to be true. He asked this question, what crimes and criminals, asked Pastor Walker, are hidden behind the walls and locked doors of the convents? No one can tell. These are places, said Pastor Walker, where girls are lost and forever disappear. Now, the 175-page book, Maria Monk, The Nun That Lives Again, and the two audio tape set of Sister Charlotte is available for just $15. The book, The Franklin Cover-Up, $20. And please add just $4 shipping and handling. Now, our address is Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733 in the USA. Or you can go to our website, powerofprophecy.com. Or you can phone us toll free. That number toll free is 1-800-234-9673. Again, the set of three items, a book, Maria Monk, with the two audio tapes of Sister Charlotte, and that's $15 plus $4 postage, and the book, The Franklin Cover-Up, for $20 and $4 of postage as well. And now let's return to our regular program. We're talking about Catholic priests and the ravages of Satan. Let me tell you a little bit about Sister Margaret Ann Paul. In fact, I'm going to read you some news clippings here. Here's one article by Erica Blake in the Toledo Blade newspaper. Says, prosecutor digs deeper in case. Robinson investigation. Lucas County prosecutor Julia Bates, is deciding whether to ask for the conviction of a priest, Pastor Gerald Robinson, who has been implicated in the slaying of Catholic sister Margaret Ann Pohl. Cold case investigators probing the 26-year-old homicide have said they believe that local Catholic officials misled them in 2004 during their reopened investigation into the 71-year-old nun's death on April the 5th, 1980. Next article. On CourtTV.com. Says the case against Reverend Robinson, what the jury didn't hear. Yeah, he was indicted. He had a trial. It says the jury that convicted him, the Reverend Gerald Robinson, Thursday, listened to 41 witnesses during the three-week trial, but they did not hear every bit of evidence that authorities uncovered in the course of their investigation. What was involved included sadomasochistic allegations. In 2003, a nun told a diocesan panel that she was sexually abused by Robinson when she was 15 years of age. She claimed that another priest paid her father to let Robinson, the priest, engage her in sadomasochistic acts involving a whip. The same woman alleged she had been raped repeatedly as a girl during satanic rituals led by priests. When police searched Robinson's home in 2004, they did indeed find a pamphlet entitled The Occult. Many passages were underlined, including one describing a black mass in which an innocent was used as an altar and sexually abused. The booklet was published by a Catholic group. We go on talking about this Reverend Gerald Robinson. Here's another article. It says Father Robinson, who is scheduled to go on trial, and this is before his trial, for the aggravated murder of Sister Margaret Pohl, is accused of killing her as a sacrifice to Satan. The abuse reportedly started with a chanting of satanic verses, after which he cut her with a knife as a sacrifice to Satan, drawing an upside-down cross symbol on her abdomen. Then he forced the nun, who was still alive, to drink the blood of sacrificed animals, including a rabbit. Other men attended the Black Mass, ostensibly other Catholic priests. They were dressed, however, in nuns' clothing, and they performed the rituals while the victim was on a table and restrained her when she tried to leave. The woman was forced to perform sexual acts on the men, and the abuse escalated dramatically as the sessions continued. They even put lighted matches to her feet and to the corner of her eyes. The abuse took place in the basement of a local Catholic church. Here's another one from the Toledo Blade, Toledo, Ohio. Also, this was reported on Court TV, a channel. Witness says nun's killer was expert in Catholic rites. An expert in Roman Catholic rites testified Monday that the murder of a nun in a chapel was committed by someone with specialized knowledge of the Catholic Church's rites and symbols. Sister Margaret Pohl, 71, was strangled and stabbed to death in the sacristy of the Mercy Hospital Chapel on the morning, now this is another case, on the morning before Easter. Her undergarments were pulled down around her ankles and her dress pushed up, the coroner report stated, exposing her genitals. She had been stabbed 31 times, including 9 wounds made through the cloth in the shape of an inverted cross. I want to stop right there. Exactly 9 penetrations or stabs through the cross, making in the dead nun's body the upside down cross, which is meant to desecrate the crucifixion of Jesus event. Why the number 9? Why exactly 9 stabbings? Because 9 in occult numerology is the number of the beast. Because occult numerologists add the numbers 666, that's 6 plus 6 plus 6, to produce the number 18. Then they add the 2 digits 1 plus 8 to equal 9, thus the number of the beast. Prosecutor J. Christopher Anderson, during the court hearings and trial, identified the ritual aspects in the crime. The expert witness, Mr. Grobe, sighed and said, quote, "Where does one begin?" He said that in the eyes of the church, a nun was a virgin, wed to God, and that by leaving Sister Margaret Ann naked, the killer was, quote, defiling the bride of Christ. He said this was consistent with satanic worship. You take innocence and you destroy or mock it. He testified that the upside down cross was similarly used in satanic ceremonies as, quote, an affront to the sacred. He said the use of the cross showed a desire to penetrate the holy with the evil. He stated that a bloody semicircle on the victim's forehead was evidence that the killer had performed a perverse version of the sacrament of last rites of the Catholic Church on Sister Margaret Ann. Then, well, it goes on and on. By the way, the witness was the Reverend Priest Jeffrey Grobe, the associate vicar for Canaan Services for the Archdiocese of Chicago. He said that the killer had, quote, professional knowledge of the church's rituals, including those of the last rite. Meanwhile, according to published reports, a psychologist on the diocese's payroll had listened to a woman's complaint that she had been raped in a satanic ritual by priest Mr. Robinson and other priests dressed in nun's garb, but that he had kept quiet about it until his conscience bothered him. He also testified, this is the psychologist, that he had been ordered by the attorney for the Catholic Church to keep quiet. But instead, he decided to contact authorities. Keep quiet. He also reported that several cases of ritual satanic abuse of victims had been settled outside of court by the Catholic Church. In other words, they admitted that these things had gone on. Here's another report out of CrimeLibrary.com news. A report by Candace DeLong, a former FBI agent and criminal profiler who also spent years as a psychiatric nurse. She said, I believe it did happen, this devil-esque ritual. She was talking about the accounts of children being raped by chanting Catholic clerics. Wow. A flurry of correspondence has now been received, it says, from across the country, from New Mexico and California to Pennsylvania and New Jersey, all of them detailing bizarre sexual rites performed on children, chillingly similar in their details. In one case, a victim said that she had suffered from an entire group of priests. On several occasions, she had been raped in church basements and rectories. They had performed what she said were cult-like ceremonies. Other children were also molested. At least four Catholic priests were the abusers. When the victim went to the church, they told her to keep quiet. Then she went to the police, but they gave her a runaround and at first did nothing. She also stated that the Catholic Church officials at first lied to her and told her they had already reported this to law enforcement, when in fact this proved not to be true. Now here's another story. A nun at the convent where Sister Margaret Ann Pohl was found murdered testified in a court trial that she was upset over the way the priest, Reverend Gerald Robinson, had celebrated Good Friday Mass on April the 4th, 1980. The nun said that Sister Margaret Pohl was distraught when she saw what the priest had done during the Mass. And she had said to the nun, now his witness, quote, why do they cheat God from what belongs to him? The surviving nun said that Sister Pohl determined at that moment that she was going to report him to higher authorities, although she said that Sister Pohl had done so previously and nothing was done. Here's this Mother Superior, Sister Margaret Pohl, witnessing some kind of a satanic act during a Catholic worship service, a Mass. She says, why are they cheating God like this? And she said, I must report this to higher authorities. The very next day, they found the dead body of Sister Pohl. Now, dear friends, these aren't the only stories. Let me read some. Here's one from out of Chicago, from SuburbanChicagoNews.com and the Chicago Herald newspaper. A priest, Ed Stefanik, is accused of even more sexual offenses against children. But the Roman Catholic Diocese of Joliet is once again asking a court to bar the release of documents that would shed light on how church officials respond to allegations. How interesting. They don't want to tell the truth. Here's one. Church abuse payouts already top $1 billion. This is from CBS Television News. Quote, the cost to the U.S. Roman Catholic Church of sexual predators in the priesthood has climbed past $1 billion, according to tallies by American bishops. Hey, that's what they're admitting to. $1 billion. Doesn't this make you feel rotten if you're a Catholic? You go to church, you give your money, you give what you think are tithes, and now you find out they're having to pay out $1 billion to victims. One Catholic diocese of a major city here in the United States, I believe it was Seattle, if I can recall, declared bankruptcy. But guess what? When you declare bankruptcy, you can still keep much of your property. They say the archbishop up in that area lives in a mansion. He's attended to by nuns and a legion of servants. But he's bankrupt, he claims. Sure he is. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. By the way, do you remember the Cardinal of Boston, Massachusetts? Cardinal Bernard Law? He was so shamed when he came out in court that he'd cover up all of these priests that had molested children that he was forced out of the United States. What happened to him? How did the Pope John Paul II punish him? Well, he promoted him. Brought him to the Vatican. Gave him one of the biggest fat cat jobs in the Vatican. He moved up. They must have been very happy with what he did. Here's another report out of Spokane, Washington, from the Spokesman Review newspaper. It says, sexual abuse allegations hint at Spokane, Washington's shameful side. Young boys, some from troubled backgrounds and others from prominent family, were being sexually abused by priests of the Catholic Church, by Boy Scout leaders, and even by officers of the Spokane County Sheriff's Office. Absolutely incredible. It goes on and on. Here's one out of San Francisco from Washington, reported in the Washington Post. It says the Archbishop of San Francisco has agreed to pay more than $16 million to settle a dozen lawsuits alleging sexual abuse by a once popular priest. Irving, Texas, Dallas Morning News, a former Catholic priest with a history of molesting boys was convicted, blah, 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 blah. It goes on and on. Catholic priest across the United States. I have reports from Ireland, Scotland, Romania, Russia. The ravages of Satan. Is this a church that deserves to keep its doors open to the public? You decide that, dear friends. This is Tex Mars. I pray that each week during this same time you'll tune in here on WWCR. Or go to powerofprophecy.com. Streaming audio, we have it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Tune in and discover the power of prophecy.